Today, as we continue our series, Games People Play, I want to talk to you about a game that actually uses human beings as the game pieces. We're going to be talking about the game Twister. I'm going to put this down here, and I'm going to play a game of Twister while we're doing this. Now, a little bit of the history of Twister, in case you didn't know it, is that back in 1965, Ren Geyer, who had a sales promotion company with his dad, was doing a shoe company. They were doing a promotional thing for that. And as he was building this concept, the idea came to him of putting colored markers on kids' shoes and having them go along on the corresponding colors on this area. And as he was messing with this idea or going with this idea, he thought, that would make a better game for people to play. And so he was going through all these concepts, and finally he came up with this game, and he got these office workers together, and what you would do is you would have to put hands or feet on this mat. And what he did was he got some office workers together, and seeing how much fun they all had playing this game, he thought this would be a great game. And so he called the game Pretzel. He did. He really called the game Pretzel. And what he did then was he was able to sell the rights, or was able to sell it. The game was picked up by Milton Bradley, and against his wishes, they actually changed the name of the game to Twister. So, Pretzel, okay. But he named it Twister. Now, Milton Bradley, the first year of it, they weren't quite sure that the game was going to make it, and they were worried that the game was this great big flop. But on May 3rd, 1966, Twister was actually featured on The Tonight Show. Helping matters on that one night, the guest that Johnny Carson had was Eva Gabor. Now, I got some O's. She was the lady on Green Acres, okay? And all it took was one shot of Eva Gabor down on the mat and Johnny Carson trying to get over the top of her, and the game became an instant success, okay? Further proof, the very first year that Twister was out on the market, it sold 3 million copies. I know, it's amazing. In May 2nd of 1987, the University of Massachusetts at Amherst set a world record for the very largest Twister game. 4,160 college students all playing the game of Twister at the same time. That is one really, really large mat. I don't know how they ever got it all in their stuff, but that was there. Conservative estimates are that Twister has been played by 65 million people. How many of you have ever played Twister? We've got a large group here. Some of us aren't quite sure if we've been there stuff. The premise of the game is really easy. You take a spinning wheel, and you take the wheel and you spin it, and you put the proper hand or foot on the proper color, so left foot on yellow, and that's how the game goes. Play the game that way. But if you've ever really played the game, you know what sounds so simple actually becomes extremely difficult. You can only be pulled in so many different directions before you fall. What I want to do this morning is take two simple strategies for the winning the game of Twister and how it applies to relationships. Getting pulled apart in 100 different directions on a Twister mat is fine, but it's not so fine when life feels like it is one great big game of Twister. So this morning, what I want to do is in Hebrews chapter 12, the second half of verse 1 and the first half of verse 2. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, kind of taking one verse in the middle there and see what it can do, sort out, and see what it can do to help us untwist our lives. And you can follow along in your Bibles if you have them. They will be popped up there, hopefully, with a new projector person helping us run it here. Yeah. Thank you, Timmy. I'm going to break off for a second. We were up in Sunday school, and Donovan wasn't here, and Colin wasn't here. I go, oh, no, who's going to run it? And Timmy goes, I'll do it. So, Timmy, thank you. So let's pick up Hebrews chapter 12. The second half of verse 1 starts right here. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The first thing that I want to share with you, the first strategy with winning the Twister game in your life is to be flexible. Years ago, Frank Lloyd Wright was given the impossible task of building the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. No comparable construction job had ever been undertaken before this. With patience, he laid plans for this immense building in the land of earthquakes and terrible tremors. After carefully reviewing the situation, he found that 8 feet below the surface of the ground, there lay a 60-foot bed of soft mud. Why not float this great structure on this and in some way make it absorb the shock of the earthquakes? So after 4 years of work, amid ridicule and jeers from skeptical onlookers, this building was completed, and soon arrived the day when it would be completely tested. In 1923, the worst earthquake in 52 years caused houses and buildings to tumble all around this building. But the Imperial Hotel stood, because it was able to adjust itself because of the mud underneath it to the tremors of the earth. Hebrews 12:1 again says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." If you are tangled up, then you can't be flexible and you can't reach the different color. We know that Twister is full of hindrances and entanglements. That's what makes the game so challenging and so much fun. But those hindrances and those entanglements that we meet in our lives really make a mess of things. The enemy is so good at entangling us and hindering us. Proverbs 29:1 reads, "A person who will not bend after many warnings will suddenly be broken beyond repair." Before we go on, anyone want a CD? Unhindered. Anyone? It's a CD, songs, Unhindered. Well, a hand came up over here. Only one person raised their hand. Okay. It is a group called Unhindered. So you can be unhindered. Their album is called Be. It's got some great songs on it. You will enjoy it. I know it's kind of out there. Everyone's going, "What are you talking about?" Okay. The enemy, catch this, the enemy wants you to be confident that you can feel like you are flexible until that spinner lands on the color green that happens to be between the player's legs in front of you, and you reach out there with your face right in the rear end, and you're stuck in that position for several more turns before you can actually move again. You see? When we begin doing harmless things, things that you know you can stop at any time, is when God sets off that alarm in your heart, and you casually reach over and you push the snooze button. I can smoke weed 2 or 3 times, it won't hurt. And you may be right. I can let my boyfriend have a good feel every now and then, just as long as we don't go all the way. It won't hurt. You may be right. I can sneak into the closet and take a drink of alcohol every now and then and get a little buzz. It won't hurt. You may be right. I can take that one little item from work. No one will ever miss it. It won't hurt. I can hang around with that jacked up guy so that he can give me a ride around. It won't hurt. You may be right. I can go visit that site on the internet. It won't hurt. You may be right. But each time you decide to try one of those "it won't hurt" adventures, your mind becomes confident and your heart becomes callous. And before long, you realize one day you're trapped. You are no longer flexible. You are now rigid Because you have now developed a habit of those, it won't hurts, until now, it hurts. You no longer have the luxury of being flexible because now you become tangled. Tangled in relationships that possibly may include lying constantly to your friends. Tangled in always having friends around you that have something to offer you. I'll let you be my friend if. You're tangled in the web of the internet. Tangled in always wanting that buzz that first started with just one or two little swigs from the bottle to now you're mixing it with some soda so that you can take it with you everywhere you go. You've become tangled in wanting a better buzz. Tangled in a relationship where your boyfriend or your girlfriend now expects you to let them have their way with your body whenever you are together. Guys become tangled in relationships where they always have to do what their friends do in order to be accepted and not be ridiculed. So how do we lead a life that is unhindered and untangled? There is one of two significant phrases in our passage that I want to show you on how to keep your flexibility. You need to follow the last part of verse 1, which says, throw off. Lay aside every weight. It's that simple. Yeah, right. Ladies, dump that guy who wants to steal your honor. Guys, dump those friends that always want you to follow them in their mischief behavior or their crime sprees. Whatever it is that is dragging you down and keeping you from that wonderful feeling of being able to stretch out and be the real you, lay it aside and move on. If you're too wrapped up in it, then start by removing one strand at a time. Get rid of one friend at a time until you're away from that entire crowd. Girls, if you don't want to dump that guy because you're afraid of being alone, then start with that's a no-no one at a time. Chances are you won't have to dump him. He'll probably leave you and move on and try to find another person who'll be his next challenge. The first strategy is flexibility. The second strategy that I want to give you in winning the game of Twister in your life is to keep your balance. When you're playing Twister, it eventually becomes impossible to focus on just one thing. You're being pulled in so many different directions that eventually even the best players will lose their balance and fall. Then you're out. It's really easy to lose your balance in life for the very same reason. We are pulled in so many different directions that we can't maintain our balance. There aren't enough hours in the day, and there are not enough days in the week. There is so much that is competing for our time. So much stuff that demands our attention that we lose our focus on what is the most important. The old TVs, when I grew up, get this, you actually had to get up and walk over and turn the knob if you wanted to change the channel. Some of those old televisions, they actually, the picture would start kind of jumping and you had to go over and you had to turn the knob to get the V-hold back on. Some of them even had little knobs where you had to turn them to get the thing back into focus. I know many of us know that. Yeah, all the antennas and all those things. Some of you guys, you know that little remote, that thing did not always exist. We actually had to work to watch television. You see, there's this second phrase. What? What? Out of focus? You don't like being out of focus? Oh, Timmy will fix it. Oh, no, go ahead and readjust it, Timmy. He doesn't, he goes, I don't know how. Okay, here, let's put you back in focus here. You just turn this little dial here. Now, this really, I wasn't going to have him do that. See, when our lives are out of focus, it's the same way. We just don't realize it because we let it get that way slowly. The next phrase that I want you to hold on to is found in verse 2. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You see, it is really a call for us to turn the knobs in our lives and bring things back into focus, just like that is in focus now. It might actually be better than it was earlier. If your life is off balance, the first question to ask is, what is my focus? But here's the deal. When you ask that question, there's only one right answer. There is only one focal point that can be the stabilizing force in our lives. It's not your school activities. It's not your team. It's not your popularity status. It's not the clothes you wear or the job you have or the car you drive. It's not your house. It's not your money. It's not any of that stuff. You see, that is all a game that a lot of people play in their lives. They try to become a pro at Twister because they bend and they twist to all of this stuff in their lives. Now, we probably all know people who are focused on things like that. And their lives are way out of focus and completely off balance. Maybe, just maybe, the person you know who is focused on the wrong things is you. You see, the reason that Hebrews challenges us to fix our eyes on Jesus is not just because he offers us eternal life, but because he also offers us a focused and a balanced and content and purposeful life here and now. Which brings us to a question. How do I do this? How do I turn the knobs in my life? How do I refocus my life on Jesus? Well, the verse that we've looked at in Hebrews gives us the answer. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Throw all that stuff off. Lay it aside. Get rid of it all. In Twister, you have to spin the wheel to get your next move. And when you're doing that, you cannot prioritize your moves because your moves are all a matter of chance. You have no idea what the next move is going to be when you're on the mat. So how do you be flexible and keep your balance by your choices in your lives without simply leaving it to the spinning wheel? Whenever you're facing a choice or an option in your life, there are four questions that you can ask that will help you decide where this choice belongs. The first question is, does this choice meet God's approval? You see, for someone who claims to be a Christ follower, this has to be the first question in your quest in making right choices in your life. For many, this one question alone will actually untwist your life and help you to get your life so it's not this great big knot anymore. Psalm 86:12 says, I will praise you, O Lord my God. With all my heart, I will glorify your name forever. The second question to ask, does this choice strengthen my family ties? Because you are irreplaceable in your family. You're replaceable at school. You're replaceable on your team. You're replaceable at work. But you are irreplaceable in your family. Because that is who defines you. Some of you may have been twisted and torn from your family, but you are still defined by the strength of love for each other. If you don't love your family, then you will lose your balance in the game of Twister and it will affect your choices in life. So do your choices strengthen your family ties, or will it distance you from them? When I was in high school, I actually had a room of my own. My brother and my sister, they shared a room, but I had my own room. I didn't need anyone in my family. The choices I made, the anger that I had, kept me separated. I slept by myself. I did things by myself. I did not need any of them. I was a loner all the time. Did you know that now, some 35, 36 years later, I still suffer from the consequences of those choices with my family? Times when I am still alone and still a little bit of an outcast with them because of choices I made back long ago. We need our families. We need those family ties. The third question to ask is, does this choice help others? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. You see, serving others is a hallmark of the Christian life. And it has to be reflected in the choices of a Christ follower. The second greatest commandment that Christ gave us is to love one another as you would love yourself. Remember, we've been going over this for several weeks. The first greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we can finally get those two going, and then we can go out and do the great commission, which is to go into all the world, to reach the world. Love God, then love others, reach the world. And as we've been working on this visioning, we're starting to try to put some of those things, implementing those and putting those into practice. As the years come on and the months come on, we'll start doing spiritual disciplines. So we can start working on loving God. And once we have that, then start working on loving each other. But we need to do that. We need to love each other. Are you giving the best that you have to others? Or are you just kind of giving the leftovers when you're all done with it? The fourth question to ask is, does this choice make my life better? Proverbs 28:25 tells us, the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. The next time that you want to do something that is questionable on the twister mat, before you do it, ask yourself, will my life be better because of this? These four questions are important if we want to be flexible and keep our balance according to God's will and His design. If we have a choice that doesn't match up with one of these questions, that you can't work into one of these questions, then our passage in Hebrews says to throw it off. If you don't make decisions to get things right with your life in these two things, flexibility and balance, then the world around you and the people around you will prioritize your life for you. And it will be about as predictable as giving the twister wheel a spin. And your life will be nothing more than stretch and sway. You will have no peace, because if you haven't remained flexible in your life, everything will be uptight, and those around you will notice it. You will have no peace, because if you haven't maintained your balance in your life, everything will seem like an immediate crisis. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 says, my dear friends, you have been warned ahead of time, so don't let the error of evil people lead you down the wrong path and make you lose your balance. If you follow the world's lead, you will be playing a losing game of Twister day after day after day. Our focus has to be on our relationship with Jesus, and that has to be reflected in our life's priorities. Anything less, and life will always be a game that ties you up in knots. So as we close, Be flexible and keep your balance.